Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. With me today, I have Yvonne J. Douglas, known as the Starseed Alchemist, with me. Yvonne is a powerful psychic, shamanic practitioner, high priestess, and sacred celebrant. She uses her innate shamanic healing to give you more clarity, greater purpose, and increased passion so you can create magic in your life. As a powerful conduit for spirit, Yvonne is here to heal souls on a deep level. Inner child, past traumas, ancestral DNA, abundance blocks, past lives and shadow work. Yvonne works with sensitive souls, helping you to tap into your true power, remember who you truly are, and recognize that being sensitive is not a weakness, but an absolute strength, inviting you to turn your pain into power. And here is our wonderful starseed alchemist, Yvonne J. Douglas. How are you? All the way from East London as well. Woo!
Well, I used to be in East London. I'm now in Emma Hempstead.
Ooh, very posh.
Kind of.
Oh, no, it is. It's nice to have a fellow Londoner on board today. Really excited to hear your journey. And, you know, how you actually started up the Starseed Alchemist. I just love the name. So how did you come up with that name?
Oh, gosh.
This
comes in the into the middle of the story, I guess.
Oh,
but how did
okay.
I come up with the name? It's fine. It's fine. I was at an event and this woman was talking about highly evolved souls and how they are star seeds and they're here to really help humanity. And I knew I had a purpose around healing anyway at that time.
Yeah.
And when she was speaking this, all my goosebumps and everything at the back of my neck was just like doing all sorts. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a star seed, I think. and then I spoke to her after the event, and she was just kind of confirming. She said, look up different planetary systems to see where you come from. And so because I am about transformation, I was rebranding, and the Starseed Alchemist came up. It just felt fitting because I'm an alchemist, and I spell it with a K on purpose.
Yeah, so, I love that.
Yes.
Brilliant.
So, okay. Yes, I came up with that name. But actually, we all come from stardust anyway.
Oh, that's such a beautiful way to see life, you know, because. And I always preach this, that, you know, we are spiritual beings in a human physical form. Yeah.
Yes.
And I love
always,
that.
Always.
It really enlightens me when we think of that.
When I first heard that phrase, again, everything inside me was like, oh my goodness, this makes so much sense now.
It does, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
I don't know about you, but that just like knowing that as well, it's just made me not ever fear death. Because I just think, well, we're going to carry on living anyway. You know, who knows? Yes. Maybe, you know, beyond life in this physical form, maybe that is actually our heaven. That's going to be actual real life.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I don't fear death at all. No. And I do feel that a lot of people who fear death, they actually fear living life to the full.
Interesting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. There you go, listeners. That's something to think about. Wow. So let's talk about you now, Yvonne. So your journey, I mean, look, I always say for someone to do the work that they're doing now, you know, it's so sacred. And I just think it's just so endearing, you know, the services that you're providing. And again, you could talk about your services later on in this talk as well. But what was it then? So tell us about you.
Okay, I'm going to try and really condense it. But if people really want to know the whole of stuff about me, I do have some books. So the first book, Hungry for Love, it's in there. And it's a real heart-wrenching story about my childhood and how I managed to get through all the dysfunction. So I grew up in a single-parent household for the most part, as a Jehovah's Witness. And I was just very confused, very sensitive, couldn't understand what was going on around me most of the time. And I guess I used a lot of humour to get through life as well. And there was so many things that happened. I was looked upon, like my family would say, all you've got to do is look at Yvonne and she'll start crying. Mm. And I didn't find that very funny.
No.
It was very difficult being around people. Yeah. And again, as I said, so I used a lot of humour. Okay. My stepdad was very abusive to us children and my mother. And so there was a time when she managed to get away from him and we had to go to a woman's refuge. And I was really happy when he left, actually, because he was just an awful person. He used to tease me a lot. He used to make me... I used to be very fearful of this man. So just kind of got through life somehow. Went to school, did all this, you know, those sort of things. But I always felt quite depressed. And my friends used to say, what's wrong? And I'd be like, I don't know. I just don't feel right. I feel so sad, like really sad. And they didn't know how to help me. My mum always said I was quite sensitive. I was always quite clingy. There was also a time when she said that she didn't know what to do with me because I wouldn't stop eating, especially when I was really little. And I think I still do. But anyway, I am a Taurian. But
okay.
I got through somehow. There was a couple of times when I was on antidepressants. And I met my first husband in the church as a Jehovah's Witness. And that went fairly okay. There was a time when I tried to commit suicide when I thought I was going to lose him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I had to get my stomach pumped. And then had two children.
Okay.
And they are beautiful, beautiful children who are very highly sensitive as well. And then things just weren't working very well with me and my husband. Yeah. Something happened within the family as well, not regarding him, but with my mum's second husband. And which meant I went into therapy, my daughter went into therapy. And that was the very first time that I went into therapy. And I was in there for 7 years. 7 years doing psychodynamic therapy.
Wow.
Yeah. And a lot came up for me around the psychological abuse from my stepfather.
Okay.
And in that moment, those moments, I really started to change my perspective about life and the religion. And I finally left the religion and my husband, because he wasn't open to the growth and the exploring in therapy. He wasn't really emotionally available.
Okay.
He'd also done something really awful earlier in the marriage.
Mm.
And I was finding myself and I just wanted to break free from everything.
Yeah.
And so I left the religion. My children were very young, but I lived my teenage years in my early 30s, late 20s, early 30s.
Serious.
And I was crazy.
Yes.
I went crazy. So I was clubbing it up and I was smoking and drinking more alcohol and developing some bad habits, but really having a good old time.
Good.
So that was that phase. And then the next phase was, oh gosh, okay. So I was looking for love in all the wrong places as well. And because my self-esteem still wasn't, you know, up there. And I met another guy, managed to marry him, settle down for a bit. But then there was a lot of addiction going on. My food was a bit crazy and he smokes a lot of cannabis. And my drinking started to get a little bit out of hand as well. Well, not a little bit. I was actually in denial about the drinking. And then I ended up in rehab.
Wow.
For food addiction, because I had a breakdown. I had another breakdown. And so this would have been my second breakdown. And it got to that point. So rehab was really good for me. And at that point, again, I'd left this second husband because he was cheating. And but rehab was really good because they put me on plated meals because it was for food addiction. I was a little bit like, why am I going to rehab? I'm not an addict. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. And they just said, it's just a different drug of choice. Yours is food.
Interesting.
And so they took away sugar and white flour products from me.
Okay.
And I kid you, after 3 days, I wanted to fight the chef.
Oh,
I was like, give me my drug.
That's so interesting that like white flour and sugar can actually be, well, we know about sugar addiction, but white flour?
Yeah. White flour, yeah.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah,
goodness.
White flour products. Yeah. So like white bread and pasta and all those sort of things.
Okay.
And biscuits, you know.
Why? Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, is that linked to... Sorry, is that linked to gluten as well, or is that unrelated?
I think so, actually. Yeah. So after about 3 days, things started to come up. So many emotions and some recovered memories as well.
Right.
I actually felt like my stepdad was in my bedroom at night. Mm. I was having these... whatever, what would you call it? Memories, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
So that started to come up.
Okay.
So it made sense. You know, when you take away your drug of choice,
yeah,
whatever you're trying to suppress will come up. So lots of emotions, lots of recovered memory. And so more healing took place.
Yeah.
More healing. And it was... I'm so grateful I went in there. I'm so, so grateful. It changed my world. And so I went into Overeaters Anonymous, and I was there for a good few years, and really learning a lot more about my eating and the spiritual malady that it was as well. Because it's a physical, emotional, and spiritual illness, addiction.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, so obviously the food was being used as compensation for some emotional blockage.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And whilst I was in there, they said to me that I can't drink either. And I said, but I don't have a problem with alcohol. Yeah. They said, well, if you don't have a problem with it, you won't have a problem giving it up.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I gave it up. And yeah, I've been sober ever since. So that's been since 2007.
Was that easy?
Yeah. It was quite easy, actually,
because
when I look back, my drinking got, I binge drink. And this is why I suppose I was in denial, because I didn't rely on alcohol every day. I just didn't know when to stop when I did start.
Right.
So yeah. And then that's when I changed my career.
Oh, okay.
Because I used to work in an investment bank.
Okay.
Right. And, it wasn't very challenging.
No.
And I went to college. I learned to be a coach. And then a year after that, I studied a degree to be a counsellor.
Wow. Fantastic.
And I've evolved since then.
Amazing.
It's been a journey.
That's a journey.
You go through it and you... Yeah. But the more I released my stuff, the more I opened myself up to spirit.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. When did you start your journey? Like, how many years ago was that, would you say, now?
When I went to uni, I started in 2009.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So it's, oh, wow. So yeah, it's been a good few years.
It's been a few years. It's gone quite quickly, but it's been the best years of my life, actually.
Really? Yeah.
Best years of my life.
That is special. And how about your kids? How old are your kids now?
My son is 26 and my daughter's 30.
Okay. Wow, I got two adults.
Two adults. Yes.
Oh, wow. And have they supported you as well through this journey?
Do you know what? Yes, they have. I mean, they've also, because they've also been through stuff. You know, when we're born, we take on 75% of our parents' stuff. Yeah. DNA stuff, dysfunctional stuff, all of that. Yeah. And so I've been working through my stuff and my parents' stuff, and they also have to work through their stuff and mine and their dad's stuff. And so they've also been, that's it for everybody, actually. So the more dysfunctional the family, you know, but on a soul level, we choose the families, don't we?
We do. Yeah.
And they have supported. And what was good is that I was able to kind of educate them on where I'm at. So when I came out of rehab, I would say, right, I'm not buying this. I'm not having this in the house anymore because this is this. And we got to work through. We're from a very dysfunctional family.
Right.
So I kind of spoke to them a lot about the journey and involved them in it as much as I could. According to their age and stuff. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Conscious parenting.
Kind of, because funnily enough, my first therapist as well, she would give me so many tips on how to be a better parent.
Okay.
And so I implemented a lot of that as well for my children, because as you know, we tend to parent how we were parented.
Yeah, we do.
Unless we have some sort of intervention, or unless we really kind of make an effort, a real effort, conscious effort to do differently.
So true that. It's so true. And I think we don't even realise it's so subconscious, isn't it? In terms of, you know, how we parent, that it takes other people to... Even like my parents, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, they're like, all right. So, you know, he's crying, you know, why don't you attend to him? And I'll just say, well, he's tantruming because he wants his iPad, you know? And it's like, well, I don't want to spoil him. But again, it's just grandparents as well, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, So, moving on a little bit, as I said, the more I've released a lot of I now call it the human condition.
Yeah,
it really does make space for your soul to grow and start to expand. And in the process, so I was a counsellor and a coach, but then as I started to expand, my psychic abilities really started to come through. And I met a few people on my journey, and they would say to me, you've got the gift, but you're not really connected to it. You don't trust your intuition. You don't listen to it. Food is a block for you. And I was like, oh, okay. And there came a point where I was in a relationship with a narcissist. And I couldn't understand. I was like, I've done all this work. I'm a counsellor.
Yeah.
And yet I'm still attracting a narcissist.
Yeah. How does that happen?
We all know about narcissists and empaths, you know.
Yeah.
But it's all about the journey of really loving yourself. So until we get to that point of really loving ourselves, we still, you know, may attract a narcissist. But having said that, I learned a lot from him.
Okay.
I learned a lot. So it wasn't, you know, all bad. But when I was ready to kind of leave, because I was having these visions of him cheating and things like that, I managed to leave. And that's when I wrote another book. I had a sort of like a download to write another book. Because I was told, you're very intuitive, you're very psychic, but you're not listening. So I took some time out, and I just had this insatiable spiritual appetite to learn so much. I got angel cards, I got books, I was just really lapping up a lot of, and then I started having all these phenomenal experiences, like astral traveling, speaking to divine beings, and it was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some of it was a bit scary, but it was fine. I got through it, and then I started to evolve the business as well. So not just being a counsellor, but also being a spiritual guide and a spiritual healer. I went on to learn how to do Sekhem energy healing, which is very similar to Reiki.
Mm.
And also in 2018, I became a shamanic practitioner because I was really spirit kept dragging me further and further on the journey. I got to do shamanic practitioners, and I didn't want to do it, but
they said, did he? Wow, I love that.
But I had some mentors to help me through as well. So,
okay. Oh, wow, what a journey.
Yeah. It's so far from where I've come from, you know. And sometimes when people introduce me, I'm like, oh, that is not that little girl anymore.
Really? Yeah. That is pretty spectacular. So how about your books? How many books have you written now?
I've got 4 books out there. There's the two main ones I would say are Hungry for Love, which was my very first one.
Nice.
And then Journey of a Starseed, which I wrote. So that's more, so the Hungry for Love is really about the journey from the dysfunction to the person that I was when it was published. And then Journey of a Starseed is a continuation, but that really focuses on my journey from Christianity to spirituality.
Right.
Because I know a lot of people grow up in their religion, of their family religion, and they feel a bit guilty about leaving it because they have these spiritual experiences and they're not sure what, you know, which way to turn, and they feel duty bound to stay. So anyway, so I was inspired to write that book, and it was published in 2020.
Fantastic. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, brilliant.
Thank you.
What kind of work are you doing now? Because you do a lot now, don't you, with your clients?
Yes. So I do counselling. So, but my counselling isn't, it's very different. It's very spiritually based. So sometimes, and I really, really help my clients to go within and not just focus on the headspace. Because that's where the healing takes place. Healing takes place from within. So I do a lot of the counselling, and I also do a lot of like soul retrievals, spiritual healing, past life regressions, etc. And last year I became a sacred celebrant, which now means that I'm really stepping into like the high priestess energy. So I hold hand fasting, which is like a wedding ceremony and naming ceremonies and passing over ceremonies. So I'm qualified to do that now. And so with that, I also want to really incorporate the sacredness of ceremonies in some of my workshops, healing workshops. And I will be also putting on retreats, healing retreats for people. So and one of those ones that I want to work on is about movement and body, and really releasing things from the body through movement. So because I love dance, and so that's one workshop that I'm going to be definitely putting on very soon.
Excellent. Because you see a lot, don't you? I mean, I've actually been to a lot of retreats, and we've done dancing, and it's so liberating. I absolutely loved it.
Very
being free, you know, and letting go.
Yeah, letting go.
Without judgment.
Without judgment, yes. Dance like no one's watching. I love that. There's so much, I don't know, some people are so concerned about what others think about them,
Aren't
they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's so hindering.
It is. God. It's so crazy, because I was thinking about it last night, how I remember, majority of my life, I used to just be with people, and I'd always kind of, instead of trying to feel comfortable myself, I'd always try and be comfortable for so that other people found me comfortable. And it was always making sure that they saw me in a manner that I'd want to be seen in. Whereas these days now, I don't even think about them. As long as I'm comfortable, that's what matters.
Absolutely. It's very liberating when you don't care about what other people think about you. It's very liberating.
Absolutely, get that to that place in life as well. You know, it takes work, and it just takes a lot of acceptance and just understanding who you are, and trying to forgive yourself for anything, because we just carry so much shame and guilt, don't we? And again, it's probably inherited from our parents.
Yeah, Absolutely. And all the, some of the experiences that we've gone through, you know, some of the recovered memories that I was talking about was around sexual abuse. Okay. That happened from a very, very early age. So, you know, our brain is very clever. It can block things out to protect us. And so this is what I had done. So I hadn't had this memory of being sexually abused by my stepdad.
Okay.
But my life showed that I had something wrong, that there's some, there was something not right. And when that all came up, it was like, no wonder. And so having to heal that as well. And it's just, you know, I feel like there's so, we're in a time now where humanity are going through a huge, huge shift. Okay. That's what 2020 and 2021 was all about.
Yeah.
And so it is time. Our shadow stuff is coming up, not just us on an individual level, but the whole collective, the whole collective. And so the healing is so, so important. And, you know, leading and helping and facilitating this healing is my purpose. And it's also my passion. I came to do it, so of course I should enjoy it, shouldn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. Being an empath, do you think empaths were born to do this kind of work, or do you just think that it's an empath?
I believe empaths were born to do this kind of work, or wherever the work that they do, they bring in a certain energy into that arena.
Yeah.
To kind of really soften humanity, help humanity to really tap into themselves and really get connected and be in tune.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hard job being an empath because the world can feel quite harsh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've got to learn how to manage ourselves and know what's ours and what's not ours.
Yeah,
and really be able to detach. So as for empaths as well, it's also about us getting to know ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And learning really, really sort of firm boundaries.
Yeah,
that's one of our lessons as well.
It is. I mean, but, so we were talking about this before, weren't we? Like, I still struggle, you know, when I'm around people, when, you know, at a party, for example, I'll just pick up so much energy and it will exhaust me and I'll need to just go and be on my own. And then I'm like an outcast because I just have to be away from it all. And it's horrible.
Really
horrible.
It can be so draining. But what I tend to do, I feel I've learned to kind of master my own energy most of the time. And sometimes I wear crystals that can help protect, or we can imagine ourselves in a nice protective egg before we go out, ask our protectors to be around us, to just ward off any negative energy, and just practice a lot of spiritual hygiene really as well. Okay. And don't be offended to remove yourself from people who are draining your energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, having those boundaries and just understanding your own needs. And a lot of times I do feel like I'm like that when I'm depleted myself, when I haven't probably worked on myself. So this is where self-care comes in. So important.
Absolutely.
God,
it is very, very important. Yeah.
What do you do then? What's your spiritual practice?
So my spiritual practice, it varies. And so I tune in to see what I need at that time. But generally, when I see clients, I will have an Epsom salt bath or a shower at the end of the day and just wash off what I might have picked up.
Wow.
I have a bottle of Florida water with a crystal in it as well. And I will just spray myself after each client.
Excellent.
Just little things like that. I sage my house or Palo Santo my house on a regular basis. Just let out.
Yeah.
I got crystals on my windowsill, on my doorstep. You can't come in. We don't want any negative energies coming in here.
I've actually got my bag of crystals right here next to me as well.
Right. Yeah.
I, d- I don't know if they're any use in a bag, but you know, I just want to protect them.
Well, they can still work. Sometimes, you know, when you go out, you can put one in your bra as well.
Okay.
It's important to practice the spiritual hygiene.
It is.
There's a lot of energies out there at the moment, especially now. Spiritual warfare.
Oh, is there? I know, because I was learning a lot about 3D, 5D transition, and that really, really, intrigued me. And do you think that it's happening now, where there is a massive divide?
I don't like to call it, I suppose, divide. Yeah, call it divide. I just feel like there's people who are still in 3D, people who are still in 4D, people who are in 5D. And it just depends where you are on your journey,
right?
Whether you've just started or whether you've been doing it for many years. Those of us that have been doing it for many years, it's likely that we're here to help those behind us.
Absolutely.
We're helping those. It's not about judging where anybody's at.
No.
And, you know, some people probably won't want to start a healing journey.
No.
And they may be kind of just stay in the 3D world.
Yeah, we're quite happy that
those of us who are ascending and getting lighter, our bodies are getting lighter. We're letting go of so much and we're moving into the fifth dimension. Sometimes I actually feel like I'm in the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same, actually.
Yeah.
And so what kind of work are you doing in your so you've got soul retrieval packages and you've also got ascension sessions, so could you talk a bit more about that, please?
So the soul retrieval, that you can have that as a standalone or in a package. And the soul retrieval is really kind of, it's very gentle, but a very powerful kind of ritual. And what happens is I cleanse and clear your energy, your aura, from what doesn't belong to you. And you will go on a journey, an inner journey, and you'll see whatever you see. You may meet some power animals, you may meet some ancestors, you may meet some celestial beings. It all really depends on your soul and where it's at and what it's ready to receive. And then I will then go looking for your soul parts that are fractured off due to any kind of trauma that you've experienced. Most of us have experienced some sort of trauma. It doesn't have to be a huge trauma, but, you know, so what happens when we go through trauma, essences of our soul fractures off because it's too much to handle, especially when you're little, you can't handle it. And it's like shock. You know, when you go into shock, your body kind of goes into this state of...
It does.
And more often than not, during a shock experience, a part of your soul has gone off.
Really?
Sometimes you hear people say, oh, I was so beside myself.
Yeah.
What do you think that means?
So beside myself. Basically, it's the soul leaves then, right?
Yeah, and you're beside and you're looking. Yeah. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So these little phrases, we've got to be very, just be a little bit aware.
Yeah.
So the soul, we bring back the soul parts.
Okay.
So that you can integrate them back in.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you feel more whole again. Because some people just don't feel themselves a lot of the time. They're walking around, they're not feeling quite them. I mean, I've had a couple of soul retrievals and they're powerful, really powerful. It's bringing you back. And sometimes... Yeah, it's just an amazing experience.
Sounds it. Wow. Yeah,
so that's the soul retrieval. And then like ascension sessions will be a mixture of counseling, coaching, and some of the spiritual work as well.
Lovely.
Yeah. And I would say the ascension sessions are more for people who have done a fair bit of counseling already in their lives and are kind of ready to kind of just get deeper into another layer, perhaps.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's all about layers, isn't it?
It is releasing those layers. Opening up.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Absolutely.
And past life regression—that's something that I've done in the past. I mean, again, you know, what kind of people would you recommend that for?
So I would recommend that for people who are having trouble with a particular pattern or behavior in their this lifetime that they can't seem to get rid of and understand why this keeps happening or repeating itself. Yeah. And so, you know, I often, when people come for a past life regression, I always ask them, why do you want to have the regression? Because some people say, oh, I just want to know what I was in a past life. No, it's not about knowing what you were in a past life. It's more about knowing why you've brought something from a past life into this life and why, how it's affecting you in this life. And so we go back to our past life and see, I mean, what happens. I don't control the session per se, because a past life will come up that will be relevant for the person, for them to then look at, okay, now I understand, now I can heal. So for example, a past client, she had trouble speaking her truth. In the past life that came up was she had her tongue cut out because she was a witch.
Wow. Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. So what did that indicate in her current life?
She couldn't speak her truth. She struggled to speak her own truth.
That's why. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really helped her to understand what was going on for her in this lifetime. So that's what past life regressions are really all about. But I do feel that where we're at right now, we're multidimensional beings, we are having lots of different experiences, especially in our sleep state, lucid state, where our souls are traveling to different dimensions. Mm. And our other dimensional selves are helping us in this lifetime, or in this, not in this lifetime, in this reality. Alternate reality. It might sound a bit complicated, but
I well, I love this, and I know a lot of my listeners are spiritual, because so absolutely, I actually believe that people are going to enjoy listening to this.
So we must try and be aware of our dreams and our lucid state, and you know, have a journal, have a dream journal, and write out what you've dreamt, what's come up for you, because they're all messages to help us as we go through this ascension process. We are evolving at a rate that is like never before for us. Like, yeah, it's just very interesting.
Interesting you say that, because I have been having some crazy dreams lately, and I don't know if that's linked to my pregnancy. Because it's the hormones as well, right? The hormones just go haywire.
Yeah, hormones will do that. It could, I mean, when we get hormonal, again, there's a myth around like when we get postnatal. I'm past that now. Post premenstrual syndrome.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then menopausal women get really moody and things like that.
Oh dear.
Okay. But my theory is that when we are in those states, more is coming up. It's about the feminine energy. The feminine energy is coming up to be acknowledged.
Right, okay.
And in that state, we need to be more still. And we need to allow what wants to come up to come up. And not judge it, heal it, let it go. And so we don't do that. So when we're having our moon cycle, we just carry on as normal.
Okay.
When actually we're actually supposed to rest around our period of time. Because if you notice, just before, the day before you have your moon cycle, you're busy cleaning.
Great, yeah, energy,
That's the nesting period. You're cleaning so that you don't have to do that for the next few days, because you're going to be in your cycle.
Exhausted.
And when you're in that cycle, rest.
Rest, girls.
Be in your feminine energy and allow what needs to come up to come up. And so, again, when you get into your menopause, if you haven't dealt with your issues or your human condition stuff, by the time you get to your menopause, you're going to be a raging banshee.
Is that why? Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. This is intriguing. Yeah.
Or your menopause is just going to be a lot more problematic.
Because you haven't rested. Yeah.
You haven't dealt with a lot of the stuff that's been trying to come up throughout the years. Okay. And so that's why a lot of women are quite miserable, and then they need HRT and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I have a few of the physical symptoms, like sometimes I'll get some hot flushes. In the beginning, it was awful. It was like a shock to the system. But the more healthy you become, and because I've dealt with a lot of my stuff, I'm not really moody. I'm not angry. I'm not...
That's good. Oh, so this is fantastic advice.
The feminine energy.
Yeah. Listen to your body.
It's rising right now.
Okay. And it's true, because we just carry on being so busy and not even listening to our bodies, you know, thinking, oh, I've got this to do, got that to do. To do, you know, all your to-do lists, and then you've got to do the housework, look after the kids. Sometimes it's hard to rest.
Do you know what? The way the system is set up, it makes it hard for us to rest, but we have to disrupt the system.
Okay.
And we have to do what's different, and don't feel guilty for resting. Don't feel guilty for being in your feminine energy. The feminine energy has been suppressed for so many centuries, but now it is the rise of the feminine energy, both in men and women, because men have feminine energy as well.
Yeah.
And we just need to allow it, because that's where a lot of magic happens. It's a powerful energy. So it's no wonder they've tried to suppress that energy out of us.
It's the most powerful.
By keeping us too busy. We are human beings.
That's like
not human doings.
Beings. Yeah. Let's be. Stop doing. Keep being.
And don't feel guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. And also you do some holistic fluid sessions. So what's that?
So it's all based on, it's all very much, I got a bit confused. So the holistic fluid ones are a mixture of the coaching, the counselling, and the healing. So it's fluid. I just go with what
go comes with the flow. Okay.
Go with the flow. Yeah.
That's good.
The ascension sessions, it's like a block booking, and we go through the process to help you with your ascension process.
I love that.
All of it is pretty much inner work.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's good to know. Yeah. And again, it's just fantastic to learn more about, you know, all these spiritual sessions that you're offering. And I was really, you know, intrigued by everything. So that's why I wanted to learn more. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow.
Pleasure.
Yeah. Mm. Just wanted to say as well, because you know that, you know, the show is for survivors of abuse and trauma. So just wanted to know what your kind of key message or, you know, takeaway is for my listeners today.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I would say a few things. You are not your trauma.
Okay.
Mm. And there's nothing wrong with you. It's what happened to you.
Okay.
And that if you change that perspective, then you can start feeling better about yourself. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just what happened to you.
Okay.
And this journey is about helping you to grow and to remember who you are.
Okay.
That you are a spiritual being having a human experience. And yes, some of those experiences have been a little bit shitty. Okay. But when you get to a certain point, you will start to see that you went through those experiences for a reason, because you are a highly evolved soul. And, you know, there's a saying, God doesn't give you more than what you can bear.
Chew
or bear.
Yeah.
And I used to hate that phrase, because I'm I've been through too much. It's not fair. But now I do realize that I went through what I went through to be the person I am today, to help others who are coming behind me on this journey. So I would say to your listeners, your beloved listeners, be kind to yourself. Show yourself a lot of compassion. Nurture your inner child. Reparent yourself.
Yeah.
And don't give up. Don't give up on you. Wow. And really connect with your inner child, because your inner child needs you.
Yeah.
And that's where your magic is.
That's beautiful. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So could you tell us where my listeners can find you? Should they wish to work with you? Because I suppose you do online sessions, right? Or
I do a lot of online sessions. Yeah. Since this.
COVID.
I wanted to be cheeky and say since the pandemic, and I'm going to say since the pandemic. Because there's a lot of things aren't what they seem, but yes, and so it's about really trusting your intuition as well. That's another thing. Really trust your intuition and don't believe everything you say. You see
on media. So,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. So they can find me online, YvonneJDouglas.com. Remember the J, or the Starseed Alchemist.
Okay.
And you'll find me. I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube, I'm on TikTok, trying to be a bit funny on TikTok. I've just started that platform. And I'm on LinkedIn, and I have a website.
Fantastic. So yeah. I'll include all the links on this podcast and YouTube video as well for everyone to find you. And it's been an absolute honor having you on. Thank you so much, Yvonne. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for interviewing me today.
Thank you. Enlightening session. Absolutely. And I hope you all gained something from that, my listeners. We love you. And thank you so much for your time today. And I look forward to seeing you all in the next show. Until then, stay enlightened. We love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next. And share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.